Okay, we continue in the Tanya. We're on page Resh Sadi Dalid. And now we're coming to dealing with the issues coming around to slowly coming to the original question that was asked a number of chapters ago. But we're talking still about the evil side of doing averos, how that's worse even than the Sitra Acher. So now we're on the words of the Tanya, the bold words of the Tanya, a third of the way down the page. V'lechein kol masa olam hazeh koshim v'roim v'rishoim goivrim bo. And therefore, every action in this world that's bad is bad, and the wicked are stronger than that. What does this mean? So now the commentary has a bit to say here. Mayata yashuv l'mash yisul perkeches. Now he's going back to what he began in chapter 18. Shemitzara ava musuteres, because of that hidden love. There is a hidden love that we have for Hashem. Karv mod l'kaimis ha-Torah mitzvahs. It's very close to fulfill the Torah mitzvahs. V'gam b'l'vavecha, even in your heart. Shegam kal shebekal yeshul avas Hashem u'moser nashul kodesh Hashem. Because we know even the lowest of the low has a love for Hashem hidden inside of him and will be willing to give up his life to sanctify Hashem. That's what he said. Shaluchura ain't a moment, but we have to understand. It doesn't seem to make sense. That's only when he's up at the test to worship idols and give up his religion. But that's not so. It's not so regarding doing other mitzvahs. So what's going on over here? And to that he began to explain, Sha'anochi, that when Hashem said the first commandment of Anochi, Husharish kol ramach mitzvahs asei. That's the root of all the 248 positive mitzvahs. And the second commandment, you shouldn't have any idols. Husharish kol shasat mitzvahs los asei. That's the root of all the 365 negative commandments. What does that mean? Ki Anochi hu mitzvahs achdus Hashem. Anochi is really the mitzvah of the unity of Hashem. L'hamin she'en shu mitzvah chus ma'kadosh baruch hu. There's no other, to believe there's no other reality but Hashem. V'chol olam mispatelim olav, and all the worlds are nullified to him. El Hashem has had ribu hatzimtzumim haklipos hem nifron l'gamri. But because of the number of constrainments that exist, there are klipos that are totally separated, as it were. V'zeu inyan avodah zarah. That's the aspect of avodah zarah. That those klipas are separate from Hashem, they're not nullified to Hashem, even though there is an existence to Hashem, as we elaborated on a couple of chapters ago. And that's what the second commandment is, you shouldn't have any foreign idols. You shouldn't believe in any reality other than Hashem. That's separated from Hashem. Now, if that's the source of all the positive and negative mitzvahs, continuing the commentary. That's the mitzvah of Averis. Torah mitzvahs, when a person learns Torah and does mitzvahs, misachti mekadosh baruch, you get unified with Hashem, and that fortifies the Anochi Hashem Elokecha aspect. For the averos, when you do averos, nifradi mekadosh baruch, b'tachas apirud. And when you do averos, as will be explained in this chapter, a person separates himself, the ultimate separation from Hashem when you do an avera. And that is, ubazem muvan matua kol mitzvah hi prat. Why every mitzvah is a detail of the first mitzvah of I am the Lord, the unity of Hashem. And every avera who prat below yelacha, and every avera is a detail of the shouldn't have any four idols. Isra avodah zarah, because doing any avera is showing that you're trying to remove yourself from Hashem. So now this is all stuff he's been talking about already. Based on this, we find she'avas Hashem hamisuteres, this hidden love that we have for Hashem. It has to be aroused in the performance of every avera, and in the avoidance, performance of every mitzvah, and the avoidance of every avera. Kumoshi misareres binyamunas Hashem ve'isra vodasar. In other words, just like the love of Hashem is supposed to arouse you. When you're thinking about your belief in Hashem, when you're believing in Hashem, that, you know, that should be aroused from that. And if a person wants you to bow down to an idol, your love for Hashem is aroused at that time, you don't bow down to the idol. So why, it's not just restricted to those two moments. Anytime you do a mitzvah, that is showing the unity of Hashem, and that should arouse your love for Hashem. And any avera, you should avoid because of love for Hashem. That's really what should be going on. Now he's going to elaborate on this idea with the Averos, and what the Averos do, and why we do Averos. Now he continues with the Tanya. For the rabbis tell us in the Gemara in Sota, Al Pasuk, on the Pasuk that talks about the woman who's a Sota, Kisista Ishto, when the woman goes off the path. So Gemara says the famous rule, Ein Adam over Avera, no one does an Avera unless a Ruach Shtus, unless a spirit of insanity has come over the person. Okay? Without that insanity, the person wouldn't do the Avera. Next page, Reish Sadihei, continuing with the Tanya. Da'afilu isha hamina efes, even a woman who's an adulteress, shida tokala, that she has a very light understanding, ha'isa moshelas baruch tavasa, she would control, she would normally be able to control the spirit of her lust. Lulei ruach shtushba, but unfortunately, had there not been a spirit of insanity in her, what does that spirit of insanity do? Hamachasa umaster umali mesa'ava musuteris shebenafsho halokis ledovka beunas Hashem v'chudav achduso. That spirit of insanity covers up, cloaks and hides this hidden love that is inside the divine godly soul that wants to cling to Hashem with emuna and unity and oneness. V'li parchas Hashem achduso, doesn't want to separate it all from that unity. Afilu notli nefsnafsho mimeno. Even if they would take your life away by worshiping idols, even to make you bow down, if you don't believe it, you still wouldn't bow down. Even if you know you're not believing, you wouldn't do it. You'd be willing to give your life. That all comes out of a love of Hashem. You'd give up your life. Continuing the Tanya, and all the more so that hidden love wants to conquer the Yetzer Hara and the lust for morality. Shem Yisurim Kalim and Misa, they're much less suffering than death. Hashem Yishmer. If a person willing to die for Hashem, so just don't be involved in an immoral affair. That would be the logical thing that comes out of the love of Hashem. Says the commentary. If a person is willing to suffer death because he loves Hashem, he's willing to do that, right? Certainly, you should be able to conquer Yetzer Hara. So why aren't you able to do that? Why is she fooling around? But entered into herself a spirit of insanity that covers up and has her forget the love that she has for Hashem. Ein murgash etzla b'goli avos Hashem. It's not felt by her in a revealed way, this love of Hashem. Okheni Avera says Avera, therefore she does the sin. You don't want to remember the love that's there. Now the footnote Beis adds a little bit. He brings from a kuntras from the rabbis who say this idea. He says, Kiba emes klolos matzav zesh shedvarm gashmi achshav es alatov. This whole idea that a person considers physical things as good. If you ask a person, what do you have that's good in your life? He says, I have a house, I have a car. These are the good things I have in life. Right? He says, Zeu shtus. This is insanity. That's the shtus. Kitvarm gashmim hem tov avur balechaim. Physical things are good for animals. Avolo adam, but a human being, tzorach lohavin shatov bishvilo hutvarm na'alim v'ruchayim yoser. But a person needs to know that the things that are good for him are much loftier, are much more spiritual. Things have to do with intellect, good character. And therefore, kashover aver bishvil atov agashmi, if you're going to do a sin, for what? So you can benefit physically, umavat al tov ruchani, and you're giving up the spiritual benefits, hareis ashtus, that's insanity. That's what's been explained already in other places from the Tanya. So he's saying the fact that a person, when you do an Avera, it's only because you're choosing a physical benefit. Right. So if you're choosing a physical benefit as opposed to a spiritual benefit, you've got to be nuts. Yeah, so a spirit of insanity has overcome the person.
But it could be permanent insanity.
Yes, if he continues that way. That's what he said in others for him. But here the Chiddush of the Tanya, that he's saying over here, is the shtus of an Avera is, he says, Gam lefi matzavo, even according to your situation that you think physical things are important. Okay, let's say you're already a shtickle meshuga, you think physicals are important. But still, but when it comes to avodah zara, most enough he'll give up his life. So you see, even if he has this insanity to focus on physical things, but you see he's willing to give up his life and give up the physicality for avodah zara. So why is he not giving up his soul now? Because the physical wasn't that important, because you were able to give up your life, but now for something less difficult. That comes from the spirit of insanity. So there's two spirits of insanity. The spirit of insanity to think that physical things are the source of pleasure in this world. And even if you do, but listen, but aren't you willing to die to not worship avodah zara? So you see there's a point where the physical doesn't take a place. So how about less suffering of just not being immoral? That's also a spirit of insanity. Okay, so it must be the person is just totally forgetting that Hashem loves him. He's totally forgetting that spiritual things are important. That's the only way a person can sin. Right? Commentary continues. El shikol malkom sinlal kishimagia nisan shalvot azar. But when the test of idol worship comes, meira etzlav mesoteris, that hidden love begins to shine. V'davka v'nisayin shal isruniyav. But davka, by the test of immorality, haruch shtus mechas alavas Hashem. The spirit of insanity covers up the love of Hashem. And this is what the Tani now is going to explain in detail, this concept. Yeah?
I hope he does, because I still don't understand where the spirit of insanity comes from. Is it not under Hashem's control, or is it?
It's your choice to...
Yeah, but where's it coming from?
Your free will choice.
No.
Yes. Why are you saying no?
Because... If you have free will, you're not going to choose insanity.
Why not?
Why?
Because it's pleasurable. I choose that physical pleasure over spiritual pleasure. You know, there's a lot of smart people out there, Sammy, and they're doing the stupidest things in the world because they're choosing to.
That's true.
They're allowing themselves to be influenced. So they're choosing to do this. So Hashem creates a world with incredible temptations. Now you have a choice. Do you want to be fooled or not?
I mean, it's an immediacy.
Hashem tells you, don't go after. Don't go after your eyes and after your heart. Don't go. Don't let them mislead you. If you're letting them mislead you, that's your fault.
Yeah,
again,
this
we know when we're doing certain. We know what we're doing is wrong. But the spirit of insanity says, but in spite of that, I want the pleasure is more important than the pain.
I believe that most of the time when they want this pleasure, that this intelligence that tells them no, it's wrong, it disappears. It just is not there. Otherwise, why would they do something?
Why? Because they prefer the pleasure. I don't want to think about. Don't remind me of the fact that they're spiritual things. People have a choice to do things that are not rational.
Yeah, but we're not talking about these same people that they really don't know what they...
Well, you don't know what you're doing. You're giving up eternity for temporal pleasures.
That decision is insane.
So you're making a decision that's a very foolish decision. People make foolish decisions all the time.
How can they do... Where is it coming from?
You have the animalistic soul that wants you to have physical pleasure. The drive for physical pleasure is strong.
So that comes from Hashem as well.
He gave you the drive, then he tells you that you are able to control it. You have such a drive, use the drive for good things, don't use the drive for bad things.
We need that drive for good things.
That's right. You should want to be excited about learning Torah. That's a drive. You have to use the physical world to do mitzvahs also, don't you?
Even for marriage, even for...
You have to do everything. You have to be part of the physical world. Hashem gave you the drive, and he said, and these are the rules, and I'm telling you what's good for you. Right? It's the same thing, you know, a doctor sees a patient every year. He tells the patient, you're getting heavier, you're still smoking, I'm telling you, you're gonna die. And the guy knows it, he hears it, says, you know what? I'd rather die.
It's
doing something that doesn't make sense. But why? Because you know what? I like cheesecake. I want to enjoy my life. I want, whenever I go to the table, I want to have a good meal. I don't want to keep looking that I have to cut back and this and that. When I, every time I sit down, I want to fill my gut with all the sweet pastries that I like to eat in life. But that's killing you. It's okay. So I'd rather die young, but die happy.
I don't think they make that decision.
Yes, they do. It's a crazy decision. It's a very crazy decision. Right? And that's how people do this. They have, you know, Hashem gives them a great urge, and he's telling you, you have to control that urge, and the person chooses not to control it because they forget about the love that they have for Hashem. Why do spouses fight so much with each other? Isn't that not a spirit of insanity?
Over little things.
Over anything. Over anything. What's the point of it?
Well, what does the Gemara say for any situation of sin?
We've been talking about that for the last 15 minutes. Okay. So that's the same thing. You know, what happened to the love? You know, I'm not thinking about it now. How can I think about how I love my wife when she doesn't listen to me? And she doesn't get me covered. And she didn't pick up the cleaning. Because I needed it. And that's what I need now. That's what I want now. And she's not giving me what I want now.
That's not the spirit of insanity.
It's the same thing. Because, listen, buddy, the end of the day is, you know, you and your wife are one. You and your wife, you're meant to have a woman like this. So get over it and just stop getting angry about it. What do you mean, let it go? You're not a tzaddik either, you know.
Absolutely.
The husband's not. So then just let it go.
Discipline your kids. You have to tell them things.
You don't have to discipline your wife.
Well, maybe some cases you
vice
versa. I'm not just saying,
there's a loving way to criticize someone and not by yelling and screaming and fighting with them. Why yelling and screaming?
Yelling and screaming.
Well, that's what happens.
Disputing the facts.
No, a discussion is one thing and yelling and screaming is another.
That's exactly right.
Right? And getting angry and spiteful towards people, that's a whole different story. Person's entitled to have a different opinion than you. They can express it. You can express your different opinion.
Right.
Great. And then when your wife doesn't do what you're expecting, it's not a reason for you to get angry.
100%.
That's all.
Right.
That's all. And you know what? Some people will never change. Get over it. Let's say you have a wife who's sloppy. I'm just saying. I'm picking that because it's not the typical. You have a wife who's sloppy and she's not going to get any better. So now, what is the intelligent decision and what is the insane decision? The intelligent decision is to ignore it, and if you want to, you'll be the one who clean up. And the crazy one is trying to change her. And ignoring all the other virtues that your wife has. Your wife has 50 virtues and one flaw.
So you're going to let it go on and on forever.
You tried a couple times in a nice way. You said, you know, dear, it really bothers me that the house is dirty. And she says, you know, I just can't help myself. You know, I'm a little meshuggah here to myself. I just can't. That's not my nature. So now you have to make a decision. Okay, now look at the total package. Is the total package worth throwing out because she has a messy house? Look at your own self, that you have more than one flaw.
Yeah.
And you have 10 flaws and she's still taking you. And she loves you with all your flaws.
Yeah.
And now you're stupid enough to get so upset that the house is dirty?
You know, if you would go through all this rationalization when you are and facing that thing, nothing, everything would be...
That's what
that's what therapy is all about.
That's what we're saying.
Oh, thank you.
That's what we're saying.
You should go to
that's
therapy.
No, this is what,
you
what's even better
therapy.
Is a musrba.
You learn Tanya. You learn Tanya.
Yeah, you learn Tanya. You go to
you learn Tanya, you learn the Parsha, you learn the holy books.
We should learn Tanya before we learn to walk then.
No, you have to have a certain mindset.
You have to know Torah.
Well, hopefully you have parents who are good role models to you. It starts with the parents.
Ooh.
Be that as it may, but that's the insanity that exists. People make, listen, I see it every day in the shul and outside the shul. People do the most boneheaded things and you tell them, don't do this, it's not going to be good for you, I'm telling you.
Don't.
And they do it anyway and they hate you because you've pointed out that what they're doing isn't good and they're not doing it and now they hate you. Because you try to point out in a nice way, this is not going to be a good solution. You're really heading down a bad path. And they're going down the bad path, and now every time they look at me, they know that what I felt, and then they They get upset. So therefore they go to another shul where they can go down that bad path and own, and they're all on the bad path there. So then they're happy all together, all crazies together. Very nice. So that's the way it is. That's the way it is. You get upset over one thing, it's okay. So I'll dive in a shul where they talk and there's no kavon and that. All why? Because the rabbi did one thing I didn't like. Okay, fine. So you want to be a mishuganer? That's your choice in life. Go be a mishuganer. And the Rabbi of Shalom will say, why did you go for this davening? Because the rabbi upset me once. So that's a good, that's not a good answer.
But free choice is, you know, maybe the wrong choice.
So Hashem, you have a choice to be crazy. All right, let's continue. We're in the bold line of the Tanya in the bottom, Reish Tzadi A. Or no, do we do that? One second, where am I up to? Yeah, Vahefra she'etzla bein isur niyof l'isur hishtapu v'zaru gam kem ruch shus teklipa. The fact that a person makes a differentiation between immorality and bowing down to idols, that's also part of the spirit of insanity, the klipa, says the commentary. Haruch shus po'elas ala adam. This is how the spirit of insanity works. She'ed nidmalo, he thinks, she'ba've'rezu, this sin will not take me away from Hashem. That's the insanity. I can do the Avera, and I'm close to Hashem. Wow. So the husband says, I'm yelling at my wife, and I'm still close to my wife. I can't yell at my wife because we're married. We're legally married. So what's going to be? So I can yell and scream at her. I can abuse her. And it's not going to cause any separation. That's what the because at the end of the day, we live in the same house. I pay the bills. And I love her. So that's not going to cause any distancing.
You told us the story of the Comic of Rav already, or you didn't tell that one? Okay, I'm going to continue.
Hang on. Ukit totsam, he said, and as a result of that, if you don't think that an Avera separates you from Hashem, Keshaba Lavoris Avera, when you're about to do the Avera, Eino Nisker Klala Lavas Hashem, he doesn't think at all about the love that he has for Hashem. Okay. When it comes to idol worship, the spirit of insanity can only go so far. You know, for example, somebody says, I'll tell you what. The guy says, I'm so upset with my wife, you know, I could kill her. He says it. The guy says, fine, here's a gun, kill her.
Oh, no.
He says, no, that far I'm not going to go. Why not? Because I know if I kill her, then we really have no marriage.
And the relationship is finished.
You know, he won't actually kill her because he realizes if I kill her, then there's no marriage. Or he won't, you know, move out of town and leave because then he knows there's no marriage. But anything short of that, no matter how abusive he may be to the spouse, he still thinks it's a wonderful marriage. Right? Doesn't think, right? But he's saying, but when it comes to Avodah Zarah, in Ruach Shus Yichol La'atoschach, but the Ruach Shus can't fool you and think, oh yeah, you know what? You're still a good Jew.
I don't know, Jews for Jay, they're still good Jews.
Well, that's a next level.
That's a whole new level.
Because people have been fooled to say, no, that's what God wants you to do. That's good. He's taking them who don't know. That doesn't work on a Jew who knows that they can't believe in Jesus. If you're a Russian Jew and you came and you don't know what the religion is, I say, listen, you want to be a good Jew? I want to be a good Jew. That's an onus. That the person doesn't know. Even though Atula's point was the lowest of the low. He does every aver in the book. But every time he does every aver, he still thinks he's got a good relationship with Hashem. But the love was in a state of sleep. When the test of idol worship comes, the love wakes up from its sleep, and starts to do its job. Next page, continuing with the footnote on Reish Tzadi Vav, Nimtza comes out. There's two concepts in the Ruach Shtus. Aleph, number one, Shemachasu Master Malimes Ava. Number one, it hides the love that exists. So Yiskers Avasal Hashem Be'esaver, he doesn't remember the love of Hashem that he has at the time of the Avera. Vasibalazeh She'eno Ava Misoreres. Now, why isn't the love being aroused? Yeah. Now that's Umitzad Nibes. That's the second point. Shemata also, because he's fooled. Sheish hefresh ben isur niyaf liisur hashchav tachal avodasar. He's fooled in thinking that between immorality and idol worship, he's saying that immorality isn't such a bad thing. right? That's why the love doesn't get aroused. In other words, it has to be, a person has to think it's bad, really bad. If it's really bad, then it's, I can't do a really bad thing because, you know, that would, I mean, there's no way I, then you start thinking of the love you have for Hashem. If I'm doing such a bad thing, there's no way that I'd be loving Hashem anymore, and I love him, I wouldn't do this. But if you thought, this is not such a big aver, this is not a bad thing, Hashem will forgive you, it doesn't mind, it doesn't make a difference. Doesn't
make
a difference.
These urges anyways. Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference anyway, then you don't think about how the love is being destroyed. So that's the two steps of the insanity. You're not, the love is focused on the time when you feel if what you're doing would hurt that love. If you really believe that what you're doing is not, it's not a big deal to yell at your wife. That's not a problem. That's normal. I can forget the anniversary. I don't have to do her favors. I don't have to call her up. And that doesn't hurt our marriage.
Well, you know, conscientious, you say, I'm going to forget that.
No, but he doesn't care about it. Doesn't.
But when he forgets about it, it's not such a big. So what?
You know, and when I yell at my wife for not having the challahs on the table tonight on time, that doesn't hurt our marriage because I still love her and we're still married and all this stuff. Right? He says, "Wait a minute! If you really love someone, you don't do those things." Well, no, you're not. But you're not thinking now to kill your wife. Then that's really too far because I would never kill her. I love her.
I love her.
But you know. But you can kill her softly with your words, right? That you have no problem with. Because you don't think the words are a big deal. So I'm yelling, so I call her stupid. I call her a bad cook. I call her all these things. That's not a big deal. That doesn't mean I'm separating from her.
So when he says I love her, really it's a lie. Because if he does all these things...
He doesn't know what he's saying. He said you're supposed to say it, so you say it.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean anything because he does all these things anyway. So what's...
No, because he really believes he loves. He does really love her. Remember we talked last Shabbos. He loves her, but he's not capable of being in her position. He doesn't have any tiferes. He's not putting himself in her shoes.
Right.
So then we say the same about Hashem. He loves Hashem, but he doesn't...
I love him, but me doing this isn't going to wreck it up.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if I...
So how can you say it's not going to wreck it up? He doesn't want you to do it. That's the insanity.
Yeah.
You know, that's a trivial thing. What does it matter to God if I eat treif? I love God, so I ate some treif. I wanted to. Because
I love
it
in my heart.
What makes you insane? Because you really like that treif.
Yeah.
You must like that treif a lot.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not going to hurt my relationship with Hashem if I eat treif. It's only eating treif. So that's you get fooled. So that's how it works in a marriage. You get fooled. So I ignore my wife. I don't call her. If I'm going to be late, I don't call her up. And it's not a big deal. Well, maybe you want to think about how she feels. No, I don't have to do that.
Maybe the way around it is to think about how you feel when...
But he's not thinking that. That's the Ruach Shtus. The Ruach Shtus says one thing. This is what I want, and this is what I want to have. Finished. I want to, right after work, I said, I have two tickets to the ball game. You go right from work, you're downtown anyway, you go right to the ball game. Come at 11 o'clock, the says, where were you? I went to the ball game.
Yeah.
So maybe you call me. Why would I have to do that? I just want to do what I wanted to do. But don't you consider me? Why? What's the big deal? I love you. All right. So that's all. Like, so you got to be a little stupid. You got to be nuts. Well, the Ruach Shtus works. The Ruach Shtus operates very well. If you keep on thinking about yourself, the Ruach Shtus is very forceful.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, that's the point.
The ultimate insanity, according to so far, is idol worshiping, right? That's the ultimate.
But person won't that's do that. But that he won't do.
So, and then
a Jew won't do that. A Jew won't do that because he knows that that is going past the line. Because he will not want to do that. Because I do have a relationship with God. I feel I'm a good Jew. And as a good Jew, I will not deny my Jewishness. It's very interesting. You know, why don't secular Jews just deny their Jewishness already?
Okay.
They marry a shiksa. Let's think what they do. They eat treif. They marry a shiksa.
They violate the Shabbos.
They don't do anything God tells them to do. But they still are determined to be Jews.
Yeah, they're trying to self-identify.
And even if we're going to change the whole religion, and change it from top to bottom, I still want to be a Jew. Why? Because at the end of the day, you know, it's a corruption of this idea. At the end of the day, that he doesn't want to separate himself from God.
Oh, did they get upset with anti-Semitism? Whoa.
Right? So for me not to be separate from God, I'll have to change all the rules. Because my body's so in, that's the height of insanity. Is we're going to change the whole rules.
Let's change the game.
Just so you don't have to separate yourself from God.
It just
becomes crazier and crazier. So why don't we say that, listen, Chaim Yankel, I got no problem. You're the head of the reform movement. I said, just call yourself another religion.
Yeah.
Just do that, and I got no problems. What are you talking about? I'm a proud Jew. Where's he a proud Jew from? Because inside he knows he can't give it up. He knows he's not willing to give up. So now it becomes even, I don't want to argue with the Tanya, but I'm saying if the Tanya was alive today, he would give more examples that would be more appropriate to nowadays time. You know, because it just didn't exist. Nobody would be that crazy to think, I'll change the whole religion and still say that I'm a Jew. Right? The reform was not yet going while the Tanya was alive.
Well, the Haskalah was...
The Haskalah was just... Well, the Tanya was what? He was 1700s.
Yeah, that's 1700s.
So the Haskalah was just starting, but it didn't have anything like what it had now. But now, that's why the Jew is saying, listen, I'm not going to give up my relationship with God. I'll change the definition of God. I'll change the definition of everything, but I still want to be called a good Jew. So that's the ultimate of insanity. So, Hashem, Shabbos is coming.
Yes.
Try to get out of the insanity when Shabbos comes. Come back to the real world. You could see the love that Hashem has for you, and maybe after Shabbos we become a little less insane.